You may be seated. And as we begin a new study in 2 Peter, I've just entitled it kind of with the big idea for this book, Knowing God and Standing Gospel Strong. And this morning we're going to look at the first four verses. And the title of the message is Standing Gospel Strong by Christ's Provision. But look with me at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, where we read, Simeon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. This is the word of the Lord. And we can rejoice together today that God in Christ powerfully provides everything we need to know him and to share him while we wait for his final rescue from a sin-loving world. And so, oh Lord, we pray that you would teach us and help us to be hearers today, who are not only hearers, but doers of all the things that represent you. We thank you for these great and precious promises, and we pray that you would help us to have understanding hearts, not to lean on our own understanding, but to look to you. And we pray for your help in this, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, pardon this next slide, but growing up, maybe the next one after that, yeah. My brother and my next youngest brother watched G.I. Joe cartoons quite a bit. We loved getting the toys, you know, for presents and playing with, you know, all of those fun things from Hasbro. And, you know, that just kind of lets you know I'm that many years old. And as we, you know, set up all of our battle scenes, you know, we'd yell the battle cry, Yo, Joe! And I don't know if you remember this cartoon, and then part of the cartoon, there was also these catchy G.I. Joe public service announcements. And that's why the kids are there, you know. They're getting a public service announcement. And the end of those public service announcements would always be, and now you know, and knowing is half the battle. G.I. Joe, real American hero. Yeah. So what do we know? What do we know today? What do we know about ourselves? We know that we are more alike than we are different. We are morally fallen and depraved. We fight sinful desires. In the grace of God, we confess that we have fallen short of the glory of God. And maybe we are not as wicked as we could be, yet we are far from what we should be. We all need help. We all need a hero. And as we look to this end-of-life epistle from Christ's Apostle Peter, remember what the Bible says about how the Apostle Peter, in his early days, was often so kind of over-eager, right? Like extra, like impulsive, putting his foot in his mouth and getting himself into trouble. And that just to say that there are things about Peter that are like us. We need a hero to save us from ourselves. We need to know our Creator God as our saving God. Maybe you've heard it said, knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. Well, ever since our first parents in the Garden of Eden, the power of knowing like God has been part of the enemy's temptation, right? But God reveals himself as the creator who is the redeemer. He came to meet us in our needs so that we could know him personally. We can know God. And I hope that's why you're here today. What do we know about God? We know that God is truth. He defines truth. God is love. God moves towards fallen humanity with mercy and grace through the saving work of God's beloved Son, Jesus. And Peter here affirms Jesus as God and Savior. And it was knowing God through a saving relationship with Jesus the Christ that changed Peter's life forever. And I'm just going to ask the most important question to you again. Do you have that same testimony? Can you testify that you know God through a saving relationship with God's Son, Jesus, and that he is the one who's changed your life forever? Praise God, we heard that testimony from Jay last week. And praise God for all the ways you were able to share your testimony this week. But knowing the risen Lord transformed Peter into a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit opened Peter's heart to identify himself as, he writes here, a humble slave, serving the Master as one of Christ's appointed apostles, the foundational teachers for Christ's church. It was Jesus, we know, who started calling his disciple, as Peter writes here, Simeon, or Simon. Simeon is Hebrew for Simon. And that's how people knew him, but Jesus is the one we know that started calling him Peter, or Petros in Greek, Cephas in Aramaic. Peter means rock. And as we've just moved through this resurrection season, we remember before the cross. And Jesus knew Peter would fall into denial. Just as Peter had fallen in a fright under those stormy waves, right? Took a few good steps. Better, you know, nobody else got out of the boat, but it was Peter who began falling. Lord, save me. And Jesus challenges Peter, looking towards his own cross work, Jesus challenges Peter to a very purposeful future. Luke 22, 31 and 32, Jesus says, Simon, Simon, look out. Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Again, the Holy Spirit transformed Peter into a stable rock so that he could strengthen others for the sake of Jesus. And Jesus' call to this stabilizing work is Peter's reason for writing 2 Peter. First of all, a little backstory from verse 1. Again, notable that in this New Testament letter, Simon Peter identifies himself by both names. And I think we can see in that a reference to his whole track record. Who he was before knowing Jesus and who he is since knowing Jesus. And in fact, the most notable thing about any of us is if we have that same testimony, right? If we have a before knowing Jesus and a since knowing Jesus story to tell. Why could Peter make the good confession about Jesus? Why could Peter recover from his foolish boasting and his three-time denial of Jesus to become such an apostolic force for so long for the stability, the strengthening of the early church? It's because Jesus is exactly who he claims to be. He is Lord and he is the difference maker. And so Simon Peter writes this final letter toward the end of his journey, probably just before he was crucified upside down as a martyr for Jesus by the Roman Emperor Nero. We know that Nero died in AD 68, so this is just before that. But don't miss that Simon Peter writes as the fallen, needy man that Jesus lifted up to faithful service and apostolic leadership. After Jesus' resurrection and ascension and giving the Holy Spirit to his church, like we talked about yesterday, guys, we see Peter transform. We see the Apostle Peter boldly walking in Jesus' steps and lovingly shepherding others, strengthening the brothers and sisters to follow Jesus. Because truly knowing God means truly following and representing God's Son Jesus and standing gospel strong in this sin-loving world. Simeon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours. He addresses this letter to Christ's church in his generation and in every generation. This urgent message is for all who have obtained God's gift of life-transforming faith. Peter's phrase, a faith of equal standing with ours. Or maybe your translation says a faith as precious as ours. But is Peter affirming that God's gift of our faith in Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, that gift to us grants our acceptance into God's forever family just as much as Peter and the other apostles? Aren't you glad that the ground is level at the foot of the cross? That no matter what you have, your life has been before Jesus, you can have a sense knowing Jesus' story. Because Jesus says, whosoever will may come. Amen. And there's nothing in any of that for us to boast about in ourselves. No works, no power, no wisdom. Our only boast is Jesus' work. The work that our Master accomplished for us so that we can be identified by His righteousness. As Peter says, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. He makes us righteous because He is who He is. A lot of mockers have asked the question over the years. Maybe you've heard it too. Well, I mean, come on, the Bible, does the Bible really ever say that Jesus is the promised Messiah? Where does the Bible ever say that Jesus is God? Well, right here, brother. Jesus the Christ is God and Savior. Full stop. Jesus is the ruler and rescuer we need. And the only place we can get the perfect righteousness is from Him, in Christ alone. We have new clothing that identifies us. We're wearing the jersey of Christ's team, right? It's His righteousness. It's His grace that identifies us as His righteous ones. And that's everything. If you can't get beyond the barriers of whatever is burdening you in this life right now, whatever's going on, just think about this. You have a reason to praise. Knowing that you are right with God right now because of His righteous work is the best news ever. So Simon Peter writes to strengthen the brothers and sisters in knowing Christ. And we need that stability in our life. He's the only ground to stand on. And when you think that you're standing in your own strength, what does the Bible say? Well, watch out. Because that's when you fall. That's when you're going down. We're Christ's flock, and He said we're going to face many dangers, toils, and snares. And as Peter affirms here, there is so much corruption because of the sinful desires that fill up this world. It's pretty hard to find good news when you look at the news, right? Because there's so much corruption. And Peter knows there's no shortage of false teachers who are fabricating spiritual directions and advertising all kinds of paths to gain a special knowledge of deeper things, things beyond the Bible. In fact, this is the modus operandi of every cult. It's fake news. Well, okay, the Bible, but you need to know this other thing that we're talking about. Do you see that the Gnosticism is still banging its drum? But while Peter still has breath, Peter writes because he wants us to know that even though we have in many ways fallen to our selfishness, the good news is that faith in God's Son Jesus will strengthen us to cross the finish line where we're going to see our Master face to face and we're going to hear His commendation, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Did you know that Jesus is praying for us too, church? That our faith will not fail? His grace is enabling us to stand gospel strong. No turning back, no matter what. And so 2 Peter is the word of the Lord to encourage our stability in the Lord. Here then, secondly, the vital blessing in verse 2. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. See, to stand gospel strong and to finish well, we need multiplied grace and peace like for our everyday journey. The favor of God's unmerited grace and the life of true shalom, the life of all-satisfying peace, is based in truly knowing God through God's Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And again, standing gospel strong will never be about flexing your own religious performance. The grace and peace you need is only found as a gift. It's a gift of a right relationship with God, knowing God through the finished atoning accomplishment of the risen Lord Jesus. The word that Peter uses here for knowledge really speaks of the most intimate kind of knowledge. It's relational knowing, okay? There's nothing trivial about this knowledge. It's not just assent to some facts. The vital blessing from God is knowing the Lord Jesus. Do you know Him? Because the one person you must not ignore is the Lord Jesus. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, you have no grace empowering you to finish well. You have no satisfying peace that you're even on the right route to the right destination. It's not happening. And the consequence is worse than you trying to get across the country this morning without an engine or a GPS or any money. But if you know the Lord Jesus, hey, it's going to be all right. Because He makes the way. All the grace and all the peace comes from realizing all that God gives us in Christ. And this connects us to Peter's big idea. Peter's big idea we find in verses 3 and 4. His divine power has granted to us all the things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Now, Peter's going to kind of continue to develop this big idea, as we'll see next time, right up through verse 11. And through the rest of the letter, in fact. But Peter sets out the big idea here in verses 3 and 4 for the strengthening of the whole church for our whole journey. This is the good news that Peter knows and that he wants us to know. If the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. You lack for nothing. Everything you need to live for God, God has already powerfully provided through the promising knowledge of God's Son Jesus. We could say it this way, God's word, the Bible, tells us everything we need to know about knowing Jesus. This life, yeah, it comes with a lot of testing. But with the Bible, it's an open book test. That's why you got to be in it. B-I-B-L-E, right? Basic instructions before leaving earth. It's not about your religious performance. In fact, if you think you're going to get to the heavenly destination based on, you know, that idea so many people have that your good works are going to outweigh your bad works, you need to rethink all of that, because that's not it. John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." Knowing Jesus is everything you need to know to stand gospel strong. Maybe you've seen this t-shirt. Maybe you have this t-shirt. I don't know. I've seen this t-shirt. It says, "The Constitution doesn't need to be rewritten. It needs to be reread." This is just Scott saying, I like that. I agree with that. I'm thankful that God, in his providence, provided a constitution for us as American citizens. But guess what? It is infinitely more necessary that we understand ourselves as kingdom citizens, and that we read the Bible, and that we take the Bible for what it really is, the very word of God, and that we believe these great and very precious promises of Christ. Have you noticed how his word puts the great and precious promises on repeat for us? I encourage you to read the Bible in context. And maybe if you're brand new, you're just thinking about a verse or a phrase of a verse, but it's also important for you to get the context by reading the whole chapter and the whole book and its relationship to the other 65 books. Read it from cover to cover. It's a blessing that it's on repeat, because we need to be reminded of the truth over and over. And Peter reminds us that only God's power graciously gives us all the things that pertain to a God-pleasing life. Isn't it great when, you know, you get the package you ordered, you know, it comes on time, and the package includes everything you need for assembly, and to enjoy whatever that thing is, you know? Tools to put this thing together, included. Awesome. Batteries to run this motor, included. Awesome. Everything you need is already included for you. But Peter wants the church to know you already have everything you need to live godly. God called you to this eternal life of godliness by his own glorious goodness. And his calling to eternal life is always effective because he opens our eyes to see the glory of Christ. Therefore, you already have all you need through the knowledge of him. There is power in knowing Christ, because Christ provides all the power you need to live for him. God reveals to us his redeeming power in the long-promised Messiah, Jesus. He called us, church, to his own majestic glory and excellent virtue, and he empowers us every step for the entire journey. From Adam and Eve, we were always meant to live as God's image bearers. But it's rebellion that marred our image-bearing ability. And that's why Jesus came. Just like was promised way back in the garden. He came, Matthew says, Matthew 1:21, to save his people from their sin. Hallelujah. He restores us to the capacity to represent who He is and the better life that He gives. And Peter's going to keep reminding us of what it looks like in the next verses. But know this, church, His divine power is at work in us, fueling every step that we take towards Christ's likeness. All the things that pertain to life and godliness. That means you lack nothing. It means also, hey, no excuses. But on the other hand, it means no worries. Apart from me, Jesus says in John 15, you can do nothing, but in Christ, Philippians said, I can do all things. I can do all the things that Christ wants me to do. And Peter's going to explain how our good works reveal Christ's powerful work in us in the next verses. But just today, think on this wonder. All the things that pertain to life and godliness, Christ has already given. It's why you've escaped the worldly corruption to share in the divine nature. What a wonder. We're not alone. We're not helpless. Christ is already working His work in us. So when some charlatan tells you, oh, but you need this other thing that I'm selling to really know Jesus and to really be straight with Jesus, recognize it as a scam. Stand gospel strong against the devil's lie. Because anything added to the biblical faith that rests on Christ alone is the enemy's perversion. What matters is knowing Jesus. And Jesus is with us, church. In the process of progressively knowing Him more and more and more, how sweet it is. He never leaves us or forsakes us. Instead, He always leads us and feeds us. He always protects and provides. The Lord is our shepherd, and we will want for nothing. We want for nothing because our good shepherd, He's taking care of it. Everything we need for the journey. So through the risen Christ, we know His power. And through the risen Christ, we know His great and precious promises. And that's the flip side here. Christ provides the certain promise that we will live with Him. We talked last week about the one who makes the guarantee. That's what matters, right? And sometimes we make promises we can't keep. Sometimes we break promises just because we no longer want to keep them. But God sent His one and only Son, Jesus, because God is the promise keeper. We're living in a very corrupt world. A fake news world. A world of deception. We're living in a self-serving, sin-loving world that perverts God's promise. So we need to fix our focus on what God actually promises and not get ahead of ourselves. Yesterday we were talking about Acts chapter 1. And Matt Loheed was highlighting the fact that the disciples asked a question there about, you know, are you now going to restore the kingdom of Israel? They were getting ahead of themselves. We must not get ahead of ourselves. In fact, the whole health and wealth gospel perversion that is so pervasive across the church today is based on an over-realized view of Christ's kingdom and glory. Are Christ's people going to get all the health and all the wealth? Absolutely we will when Christ comes. When He comes. But it's all in His time. And in this time, it's going to be so much better than we can ever think or imagine. And our step-by-step faith journey doesn't come with a promise that everything's going to be easy and comfortable this side of glory. In fact, representing Jesus in a corrupt world means we're going to get a lot of the same kind of treatment that Jesus did. The servants are not above the master. But let's never forget the greatness and the preciousness of his promise that he's coming to fulfill every word of it. And the fulfillment of his great and precious promise is going to be in eternity where we will freely worship him. And by freely, I mean we're going to be serving Jesus with no more distraction of rebelliously serving ourselves and our own thing. Peter's reminding us one day soon, church, we're going to fully escape all the corruption of this sin-loving world. And we will arrive at the promised destination of fully sharing in the divine nature. Christ's resurrection life giving us life forever. Fully sharing in the divine nature. Now, that's never going to erase or minimize this distinction, the creator-creature distinction. You can't cross that line. God is God, we're not. We're never going to be God. Only God is God. But God's promise in Christ is cleansing from our sin nature, so that in the life to come, the moral excellence of the sinless divine nature is fully going to shine in us. And nothing's going to stop it. And guess what? We already stand on his promises that enable us to progressively participate in the divine nature. His promises mean that we have already escaped the consequences of worldly corruption. And brothers and sisters, embracing his great and precious promise is the faith fuel we need to keep us standing and to keep us from falling into temptation. The Apostle John puts it this way in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Dear friends, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet been revealed. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him as he is. Amen. There is the already, and there's the not yet. And so we need to be discerning. Well, there's many people who will profess to follow Christ, but then we watch them fall away. It's sorrowful. But profession of saving faith is not the same as a genuine possession of saving faith. It's why we see people boasting on the socials these days about being ex-evangelical and ripping on Christ's church. They never really believed Christ's powerful, life-changing promise. They had a little taste, and they spew the truth out of their mouth. They don't want it because they never really escaped the corruption caused by evil desires. In 2 Peter 3, Peter deals with the immoral false teachers manipulating Christ's flock by mocking Christ's promise to return. What did they say? Where is the promise of his coming? You Christians. Well, that's the crutch you need to stand on. It's ridiculous. Where is the promise of his coming? You see, false religion mocks truth to manipulate souls. And Peter warns us. Hold on to the promises. Because it's everything you need to stand. And without the promise of Christ's return, there's no gospel on which to stand. But because Christ will return as he promises, we are being changed. We're being transformed. And we long to say good riddance to all the sin that clings so closely to us in this corrupt, sin-loving world. Don't you want that? Don't you want to be free indeed from every evil desire and every evil action? Church, we're going to be free indeed because Christ is risen indeed. He is coming as promised in His glorious second advent to make all things new and to set all things straight. So no matter whatever tomorrow brings, you don't need to fret. You don't need to be anxious because you know the one who holds the future. You already have His grace and peace. You already have His power and promise for all the things He's leading you to. You already have escaped the grasp of this world's moral corruption. You already know that He's working and transforming you to an eternal life of godliness. Jesus is the light of the world. And He says to us, church, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Matthew 5:14-16. When you need light, it's pretty simple. What do? You put the light where it will shine. And that is our redeemed purpose, church, to shine the light of Christ the Redeemer. He calls us by His glorious goodness to declare just who He's made us to be, to live as His image bearers, to represent His name well. So be discerning. Don't fall for the tricks. And don't get distracted from the faith once for all delivered. Just keep stepping in the footprints of Jesus. That's it. It's April. It's already April. But we're seeing the culmination of March Madness. Did March feel like madness to you? Well, I'm talking about college basketball. The Final Four. Now just two, right? Championship game. Or maybe to some of you, I'm talking college hockey. The Frozen Four. Go Blue. But if you get to the championship game, you already know a lot about your sport, right? You're not in the peewee leagues anymore. And yet, time and time again, success proves to be a matter of executing the fundamentals. I love the scene in that old movie, Hoosiers, where the coach, who's played by the actor Gene Hackman, the coach introduces his small-town team to the arena where they're going to play for the Indiana High School Championship. It was the biggest arena that those boys had ever seen, coming from the small town that they did. But the coach tells them, get the measuring tape out. Measure from the floor to the rim of that basketball goal. What is it? Yep, 10 feet. Just like back home. Just like every other place we played. He just wanted them to focus on the fundamentals. The basics. Also reminds us of the famous speech that the legendary coach of the Green Bay Packers, Vince Lombardi, would give to his professional football players to start every season. He would say to them, gentlemen, this is a football. And Lombardi's team won 5 NFL championships, including Super Bowl I and II, mostly because they just executed the fundamentals better than everybody else. We live in this corrupt society where truth is painted as something relative instead of something absolute. This is a world where we can connect globally with lightning speed, depending on your internet provider, to all kinds of false teaching and fake news. And we face increasing temptation to just cave into the wokeness of the politically correct elites. But the fundamental, basic gospel facts, church, are all we need to equip us for the spiritual warfighting that represents the Lord Jesus. Why have we been given this new covenant epistle of 2 Peter? Because knowing God and standing gospel strong in a sin-loving world mostly looks like executing the fundamental basics on the daily. Tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And we encourage one another. And all the more as we see the day approaching, because it's about loving Jesus Christ over everything else. God in Christ powerfully provides everything we need to know Him and to share Him while we wait for His final rescue from a sin-loving world. And we just want to pray as we think on these things, our God, we want to thank You, our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we want to thank You for all Your provision in the work of Christ. We want to thank You for the stability and the satisfaction that we celebrate together today again. And we pray that You would help us to walk in Your steps, Jesus. To show how glorious You are. Our hope is built on nothing else. It's just You. Because of Your amazing grace to us. And we pray that You would, like You did for Peter, just continue that transforming work so that we won't fall. So that we will stand gospel strong. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.